celebrating the feast of Corpus Christi this morning. Nevertheless, though, the epistle and the gospel are taken from the second Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle, therefore, is from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us. And we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain young man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all with one accord began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returned and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, thy order has been carried out, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing that I must address myself to this morning is that, as we know, this is the celebration of our Blessed Lord, and it is his feast. And we had certain things planned that we think would make his feast that much more wonderful. But it is his feast, and so he made it rain. And we do the best we can inside the house. And perhaps this is appropriate. But before I say that, please, those of you who were so gracious and generous to take part in the procession and the proceedings of today, I'm sorry that we did not have the full ceremonial, but next time. It appears, it's beginning to appear to me that our blessed Lord wants us to stay inside the house, because almost every time that we have an outside occasion planned, he says no. And so we do what he wants. It's his feast. Today, we look upon the Feast of Corpus Christi, as the bulletin points out. It also and equally points out the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, which takes place this coming Friday. Two feasts that are intimately connected that we must give allegiance to today. There will be no procession at all today, and if you will, those of you remaining, and follow the song sheets, and everybody, I want to hear you sing. If you can't sing, sing anyway. Is that clear? So, my beloved people, I said a moment ago, it is probably appropriate that we stay in the house. We are people on the run. We are people in exile. And you, my beloved people, how appropriate is today's gospel? Take heed of the word of today's gospel. You are here for the wedding feast. You are the ones that have come from the highways and the byways and the hedges. You are the exiled ones, exiled from your holy religion, religiously exiled, psychologically exiled, socially exiled in many cases. But you are the invited ones. And today, by the glory of God, we are here assembled in his little church, in our own little exile. This is not the beginning and the end of it all. We are not the only ones. But for here, we are the only ones, perhaps. As we look, not that we look down upon anybody, don't ever be guilty of that. Don't ever consider yourselves, ourselves, a cut above anybody, because we are not. But we have been asked to be here, and we have listened to the invitation, and we've come in from the hedges to hide in our little exile. As we consider and look upon the most blessed Eucharist that is today being trampled under countless dirty feet, wherever and however, and it is being ignored by those who should are the very ones, my beloved people, who have vowed themselves to protect it. Again, I say, let us not consider ourselves any better than anybody. Remember that you and I and us have been taken from the hedges and the windrows and the streets and wherever. You have nothing to boast of except the love of God. And that you can boast most freely. The other day, a little incident happened, which is very much to the point, and I will repeat it here. One of our fathers went to the eye doctor, and while he was at the eye doctor, he asked the eye doctor a very simple question. He asked, "Doctor, how do you explain color to a blind man?" And the doctor was silent. He could not, and he did not answer the question, because you cannot explain color to a blind man. And so I bring this point out for those who do not love, wherever they are and wherever they are. How do you explain love to someone who has never loved? I repeat that question. How do you explain love to someone who has never loved? It's the same as explaining color to a man who's blind. Thank your God and our God, my dear people, for the grace that He has given to us. It's a special grace. It does not make you special. It does not make us special. But it is a special grace that He places upon you. And when we come to church, as we give honor and praise to God, this celebration today in this church is for Him. And it is for His pleasure. It is for His delight. It is for His honor and glory, not ours. You did not come here to enjoy something beautiful. We know it's beautiful. You've seen it before. And everyone here has worked, except me, has worked to make it beautiful for Him, not for you. This is all His. And you are here, lighted candles, giving Him honor. Do not be distracted, my dear people. As many of us are distracted, some of us are distracted sometimes when we allow ourselves and let our obsessions about certain things that we do not approve of, certain things that we do not like, certain things that we do not understand, certain things that we have decided to make Catholic. By what authority, may I ask? Let us not allow those things to be in our heads at this moment to distract us. From the reason that brought us here today. It doesn't matter what my next door neighbor is doing, how my next door neighbor thinks, or feels, or prays, or does, or acts. It doesn't matter. I cannot let what he does or says or thinks disturb me. I must be concerned, yes, but not to the point of disturbance or obsession. The only thing that matters as you kneel and as I kneel, in a few moments, when we give honor and praise to Him who is, is what is in your heart and my heart. My beloved people, nothing else matters. And it's because we have allowed ourselves to become involved in our obsessions that we have not raised up a single voice in praise of Him who is. Rather, we have lifted up a distorted cacophony of noises. And then we wonder why He does not hear us, why He does not listen. So, my beloved people, I am emphatic. I don't mean to be a pulpit-pounding preacher, but it has come to the point where we have got to make ourselves clear, because at least from where we stand, from where I stand, we hear and we see all of this mixture of nothing. And our telephones ring, and so-and-so from the other side of the line, the first thing that they said, oh, I am so-and-so. I believe in so-and-so. What do you think about so-and-so? And our answer is, that belongs to God to worry about. That's His worry more than it is ours. We pray. And that's what you should be doing, instead of going around calling up everybody in the country to find out what they think about this, that, or the other. It's as simple as that. And we can get so much. My beloved people, if this family here can raise up one single solitary Hail Mary out of love for God, that Hail Mary, that one single prayer that lasts but a moment, is by far more powerful than all of the debate, all of the argument, all of the gunshot that we could possibly put together with our feeble, sick, weak minds. When will we ever come to that understanding, wherever we are? This is the message of God. Did our epistle not tell us about the word hate today? It said something about hate. We cannot hate. We must not hate. This family here does not hate. And by the grace of God, it's because of that. You have no idea. There is nothing that I can do to paint a picture of the power that resides in this little house. Yours and ours is a grace. It's not because you're special, or that I'm special, or that the monks and the nuns are special. It's just that Almighty God has selected the likes of you and the likes of us to ask you from the highways and the streets and the hedges to come here and to be here and simply to love him. And that is that for this morning. And when you see the Blessed Sacrament after a while, give it the best you've got.